Part 2. Questions 7 to 11. You will hear a lawyer called Paul Edwards answering questions from a seminar audience after giving a talk on environmental law. For questions 7 to 11, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
Well, thank you, Mr. Edwards, for a most interesting and informative talk. Would anyone like to begin the question and answer session? Yes.
Thank you. Doesn't environmental law attract a lot of rather idealistic young trainees?
Of course, law graduates who are concerned about the environment go down this path, but the fact is it's not on a par with, say, a career working for a pressure group on saving the earth. Because at the end of the day, the law is all about being dispassionate. And the fact is, people could end up working for the very companies that such groups are campaigning against. So my advice would be, go into it for the interest in the environment and the interest in business. Yes?
But what about smaller law firms?
Well, certainly there are small specialist firms who, while not radical green flag bearers by any means, do nevertheless fit more closely with the popular image of environmental lawyers. They often work on claims brought by pressure groups and concerned citizens. But claimant work is a niche area, and it's often difficult to get cases off the ground because legal aid is hard to get for those sort of cases. So, such firms risk being very considerably out of pocket. Who's next? Yes?
You spoke about big businesses. Does their lack of environmental conscience worry you?
Well, I was saying that my aim is to work with them to achieve sustainable development, so I really think there's a bit of a myth at work here. Many companies are, in fact, acutely conscious of their public image and therefore aren't necessarily looking to their lawyers to advise on, how shall I put it, the minimum they can get away with. Lady at the back there, your question.
What are the issues involved when dealing with the protection of animals?
Well, for example, my firm recently advised a housing association on a protected species, in this case slowworms, found on land they wanted to develop. Before this could happen, the slowworms had to be relocated. It is a legal offence to intentionally kill or injure a slowworm in this country. If you don't know of the slowworm's presence until after you have killed it, then no offence is committed. But if you became aware of the presence of a protected species partway through the development, you would be required to stop until measures were taken to protect them. Of course, we've had lots of cases just as unusual, and each one has been a real learning curve for me. One last question.
What aspect of your job provides you with greatest satisfaction?
It's great fun. You deal with everything from highly intellectual matters to the practical aspects of an oil spill, so you need to be on top of the technical details. I'm very grateful for my scientific background in this respect. Then there's the international nature of the practice. There's a constant stream of proposals for legislation from the European Commission. But above all, it's just the fact that it's a lot more real and relevant than many other areas. You're dealing with land, water, and air. So it's simply more tangible.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Well, thank you, Mr. Edwards, for a most interesting and informative talk. Would anyone like to begin the question and answer session? Yes.
Thank you. Doesn't environmental law attract a lot of rather idealistic young trainees?
Of course, law graduates who are concerned about the environment go down this path, but the fact is it's not on a par with, say, a career working for a pressure group on saving the earth. Because at the end of the day, the law is all about being dispassionate. And the fact is, people could end up working for the very companies that such groups are campaigning against. So my advice would be, go into it for the interest in the environment and the interest in business. Yes?
But what about smaller law firms?
Well, certainly there are small specialist firms who, while not radical green flag bearers by any means, do nevertheless fit more closely with the popular image of environmental lawyers. They often work on claims brought by pressure groups and concerned citizens. But claimant work is a niche area, and it's often difficult to get cases off the ground because legal aid is hard to get for those sort of cases. So, such firms risk being very considerably out of pocket. Who's next? Yes?
You spoke about big businesses. Does their lack of environmental conscience worry you?
Well, I was saying that my aim is to work with them to achieve sustainable development, so I really think there's a bit of a myth at work here. Many companies are, in fact, acutely conscious of their public image and therefore aren't necessarily looking to their lawyers to advise on, how shall I put it, the minimum they can get away with. Lady at the back there, your question.
What are the issues involved when dealing with the protection of animals?
Well, for example, my firm recently advised a housing association on a protected species, in this case slowworms, found on land they wanted to develop. Before this could happen, the slowworms had to be relocated. It is a legal offence to intentionally kill or injure a slowworm in this country. If you don't know of the slowworm's presence until after you have killed it, then no offence is committed. But if you became aware of the presence of a protected species partway through the development, you would be required to stop until measures were taken to protect them. Of course, we've had lots of cases just as unusual, and each one has been a real learning curve for me. One last question.
What aspect of your job provides you with greatest satisfaction?
It's great fun. You deal with everything from highly intellectual matters to the practical aspects of an oil spill, so you need to be on top of the technical details. I'm very grateful for my scientific background in this respect. Then there's the international nature of the practice. There's a constant stream of proposals for legislation from the European Commission. But above all, it's just the fact that it's a lot more real and relevant than many other areas. You're dealing with land, water, and air. So it's simply more tangible.
That is the end of part 2.